RCT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Colorado disqualifies Trump. I'm Daria Albinger. There was an historic ruling from one state's highest court tonight to keep former President Trump off its 2024 Republican primary ballot.
The unsigned opinion from Colorado's highest court has the justices noting how they were, quote, mindful of the magnitude and weight of the decision they faced and the uncharted territory the court has now stepped into. Their ruling upholds a trial court judge's determination that Donald Trump did engage in insurrection on January 6th. Three of the court's seven justices dissented. The ruling is stayed for about 2 weeks until January 4th. That's the day before the primary ballot in Colorado has to be certified. It's to give Trump a chance to appeal this decision directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
The Trump campaign calls the ruling the work of a left-leaning group scheming to interfere in an election. This is ABC News. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the federal government's ready for what is expected to be a record-breaking holiday travel season despite some problematic weather patterns.
Secretary Buttigieg says parts of the nation may see some bad weather around the upcoming holiday season. But the transportation secretary says travelers concerned with their flights should check in with their airline for the most up-to-date information. Still, he says travelers should always know their rights.
If your flight gets canceled for any reason, you are entitled to a full refund if you choose that instead of rebooking. And if you're having trouble getting airlines to honor that, we are here to support you.
Ike Ajachi, ABC News, Washington.
The so-called humblest Christmas tree in the world sold for a surprising $4,300 at auction over the weekend. The tree is thought to be one of the earliest mass-produced artificial Christmas trees. It was thought it would go for about $100. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The Todd Allbutt Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Allbutt Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Addressing the cost and scarcity of child care in Wisconsin is one of the top priorities for the state legislature next year. Former Senate Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard says the Republican bill before lawmakers does not do enough.
They're nibbling around the edges. They're not decreasing the cost so that it's more affordable to people. I'm not saying it's a bad bill, but it's not the solution to what it is that Wisconsin needs.
Agard speaking with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Four brothers and sisters are dead after investigators say a drunk driver drove the wrong way on Highway 10 near Wauwega Saturday night and hit an SUV head-on. The victims were the children of a Lutheran pastor and his wife from Waupaca. A Nina man faces vehicular homicide charges. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Bucks basketball tonight at the Forum. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Fiserv Forum. Where the Bucks and the Spurs are playing, we'll have a full recap after the game. The Spurs young star Victor Wembanyama did not play tonight. 19 years old, 7'4", but an ankle injury kept him out of the game. NFL, Packers trying to figure out what went wrong with their defense. How did the Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin get open so often? I asked Matt LaFleur.
You talked about some of the Godwin receptions, like back-to-back 20 yards, seemingly in front of the safeties.
Yeah, that was another one. I mean, there was one of the plays we were in an empty set, and one guy gets misaligned. We're trying to check to our three deep coverage, which, you know, it was a bad deal because we never got the check. So now you've got basically Dre on two receivers and you don't have the rotation coming his way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight and a low in the low 20s. More sun than clouds for tomorrow and warm, a high in the upper 30s. And mostly cloudy and near 40 for Thursday. A very slight shower chance Thursday night that carries over into Friday. Mostly cloudy, high near 40. Currently it's 26.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. UAUK.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, minus Johnny Lupinacci. Anya, what in the... Johnny's... Is he tardy today, or... Did he ask you for an excuse tonight?
He certainly did not ask me for an excused absence. And I, first of all, wouldn't call him tardy unless he shows up halfway through. Johnny is marked absent on my roster.
Johnny is absent tonight. You know what? Actually, too, we'll let him off the hook. Mm. He asked me for an excuse. I don't know, something about his daughter's in a dance. And should he be a good dad and take his daughter to the dance? And we went... Yeah, I guess tonight, Johnny, will let that slide. You know, occasionally, family comes first sometimes. But tonight, though, you know what? Hey, check it out, though. All the time, though, it's the greatest, you know, time that we get to have here. Coming up on the holiday season, lots of stuff going on, but a great, great guests tonight. I don't think it's a deviation as much as we're going to spend a little bit more time doing some of the stuff we like to do on the show, which is have fun. Our guest, he's an educator, speaker, published playwright, and father. He was also a left-handed, undiagnosed, hyperactive, dyslexic rug rat.
Raised
in a rural farm town.
Am I interrupting your introduction? I'm interrupting your introduction. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Lucky for us, he was okay with failing up. He's open for Jerry Seinfeld, spoken before a former U.S. president. He's an untraditional learner, educator, and comic connector. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Tim Clue. Thank you, Tim, for that wonderful pre...
I'm giving myself my own little golf applause. Is that weird? Is that odd that I'm clapping for myself? I don't know.
I think it's wonderful. You know, we all need to give ourselves
a right. If we don't give ourselves a little clap on the back, wait a minute, slap on the back, or which one is it?
I don't know. Or is it the silent clap? You know, the one-handed clap.
Yeah, let's go with that. That sounds the most appropriate for a 7 o'clock show about educators, or for educators.
Well, hey, so
for teachers,
welcome. So first thing, though, you know, we've talked, we're going to do a little bit more of the introduction. Who's Tim Clue? What's he do? I'm a little bit, though, you know, I spent all that time this morning working with ChatGPT, putting together probably one of the best intros around you. And I send it to you for your approval. And you're like, no, here.
Wow. I mean, that you.
Come on. I mean, really, you didn't want the expertise of artificial intelligence introducing you tonight?
That AI intro was amped up on Ambien, because my goodness, that thing was like adverb hyperbole loaded, didn't you think? I'm proud of all my accomplishments, but my goodness, I have to admit that AI I feel like I was getting a little step up there.
Well, look, I mean, according to AI, you are the maestro of mirth.
Yeah, right there. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop. Anybody who's ever, you know, failed miserably at stand-up for 25 years, been at the Chuckle Hut in, Saskatchewan, you're not a maestro of anything. You're a miserable, cynical survivor. That's what I am.
You turn chalk dust into comedic gold dust.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Keep going. Okay. Let's keep going. Keep going.
He's a motivational speaker, and he's not just a favorite in education circles. He's the human equivalent of summer break for our hardworking educators. You didn't like that stuff? Come on.
Working the far edges of meaningless metaphors. Good. Okay.
He's the go-to guru in the trenches of teaching. He's out there helping teachers to exhale, chuckle, and rediscover the joy of shaping young minds.
Can I hire AI to be my new marketing director? Is that available? What's the cost? What's the going rate?
You can hire me to work AI for you. How's that work?
I think you do still need an agent, right? To kind of vet this stuff, right?
Thank
you, Dr. Seckler. Thank you. Maestro of mirth. I think
Maestro
I'm going to.
Turning chalk dust into comedic gold dust.
I feel like we're stepping into kind of the analysis of what's a little off with AI, or how AI still needs our assistance, or, you know, how, or is the topic simply AI?
No,
damn good intros. Damn good intros.
Darn it, it's a good intro. Tim Clue, though, I mean, welcome to Busted Pencils. We just met a week ago. Motivational speaker, comic, all of these things. So, Tim, what is it, though, that kind of brought you? The whole idea of a left-handed, undiagnosed, hyperactive, dyslexic rugrat. Now, that's from you. You were an educator, though. So for people who are going, like, what is this guy doing on the show? He was an educator. Tim, give us a little breakdown, though, of was an educator. What does that mean?
Oh, I'm still an educator, right?
I was going to say, everything I've seen and talked and read and listened about you, I think you're still out there doing the education gig.
You know, I mean, the simple thing is I'm a teacher of teachers now, and I'm not even a teacher of teachers. I mean, to be honest, I'm a cheerleader of educators. I try to nudge them in the direction they already know they should be, right?
Okay.
Most teachers have a really intense, reasonably good understanding of what it takes to get a mind going. So, one of my interesting experiences in connecting with both, you know, principals, superintendents, educators all across the United States, when I go and do my little dance and share my method in madness, one of the interesting things is, they kind of use me as both therapist, catharsis, and a shoulder to cry on, right? Mm. I think I told you in our, I wouldn't call it a pre-interview. I would just call it last time we talked.
We were hanging out.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like that person on the middle seat on the flight that you kind of open up your whole heart to. You tell them your whole story.
Yeah.
And then you just hope to God you don't see them at the baggage claim.
Please don't help me with my bags, Tim. It was enough that I told you everything on the plane. I don't want to see you again.
Let's not revisit the story of toe fungus. Why? I mean, I shouldn't have mentioned that. That was a bridge too far. No need to go there. But no, seriously, I am not. I am not joking, even though that's kind of the art form to help raise their spirits, the morale, and kind of open the portals that they need. You know, happy, healthy teachers make for happy, healthy students. Let's just, say that 1,000 times, right? And, you know, I started out as a left-handed dyslexic rat, like I said, failing up, backwards, sideways, and forward. I mean, I tell a story in my show about, we're going real time here. Getting a phone call.
Well, you know, if I see your phone. So somebody's calling that phone. If you want to call the other phone to jump in, though, it's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I won't give out Tim's cell on air right now, though. But go ahead,
Tim. Yeah, Dr. Seckler, that was actually me trying to call your show. Is that weird? What kind of that's what's that Leonardo DiCaprio movie? What level are we at now?
Mind is blown.
Right? No,
mind is blown. Left-handed though. Come on, back to left-handed.
So no, yes. I was actually, you know, I was a byproduct of 80s education, so duct tape was not unfamiliar taste to me. And let me say, it tastes a little bit like stale licorice, and I'm okay with it. But people shake their heads when I tell them I was duct taped. I not only was duct taped as a child, I would bring duct tape to the classroom and duct tape myself before they could do it, as kind of a way to say, like, hey, Jedi mind trick, gotcha. And that was before Star Wars even came out at the time. So I was doing Jedi mind tricks even before I knew they existed. So I lived in this world of simultaneously thinking I'm wonderfully inept and also having an instinct that I did have some capabilities, but none of which any teacher was going to identify on the Iowa Basic Skill Test yet, or the SRA cards. Do you remember those? Those
the beautiful. Yeah. I mean, the skilling up, the SRA, you know, when you get ready, you successfully get that one, move up to the next level, take your card back, put that card back in, pull out a new assignment, get moving, man. That's guaranteed to make you a person who hates reading.
Yes, that and teaching Shakespeare and iambic pentameter to dyslexics. Yeah, do that and you're going to really move forward in bricklaying. And nothing wrong that there's bricklaying, but my counselor, it wasn't a Myers-Briggs test, but it was kind of an aptitude test in high school. Mm-hmm. And now granted, having dyslexia and having to teach myself to read at the same time, having some attention deficit disorders, being left-handed and not even having a desk that you can properly write on. That's kind of the trifecta of complexity to achieve anything in school. And yet I would ever so often, like, if the class had a good teacher that I liked, I would get a good grade. If the class didn't have a teacher that didn't understand me, let's just say things went south rather quickly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my counselor, after assessing kind of the yin and yang of my report card and looking at my test, he told me, he said, plumber, bricklayer, I don't know, backsplash specialist at Menards. I don't remember what the third one was. And nonetheless, look, I go to technical schools and preach that, you know, some of the most difficult work we have is in the trades, that we need to fill those spots desperately. So I am not being dismissive of that at all. All I'm saying is, if anybody ever saw me do a carpentry, any of those skill trades, they'd know that this house would not be approved under the common safety laws. This would be dangerous. This would not be the space and place you want me to fit and not quit, right?
Well, we love how you're fitting here. He's Tim Clue. He's the maestro of mirth.
Well, stop it. Come on now.
We're talking teachers. When we get back, though, let's lighten up those teachers, bring them alive. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break.
For more... You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Escos, Wisconsin, with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in,
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Perfect.
It's Busted Pencils. We witness it all the time here. Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny off tonight, taking his daughter to a dance recital. You know, no, he's not tardy. He is, it's an excused absence, as we said it. Our guest, the maestro of mirth, Tim Clue. Tim, though, comedy, education, you know, talking about this. You had what you were explaining the first part of the segment or the first part of the show is this tendency of schools, particularly if you have any sense of being on the outside of normal, right? And I use that word normal to be really, really itself a very problematic label.
Well, and actually, but, if you want to get down to it, schools as they're structured now are not engineered towards normal minds, because
right.
normal minds are the 70% of us. Anya, I would think, is probably in that 13 to 14% of exceptional, you know.
You calling me normal on air, dude? Yeah. That's rude for radio. Come on.
No, not socially, emotionally. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
If I went back and looked at your test scores, I bet you test well.
Oh, no. I was in English and history, but math, science, everything like that, I was I'm also dyslexic. I'm not left-handed. I was spared from that. But no, I was a terrible test taker too. Yeah.
You had your vertical that you were successful in.
Somewhere. Yeah. Right? I had my slightly horizontal vertical somewhere. Yeah.
But there's the excess, Tim, though. Some people would hear that part of your story though and say, so how is it that you find some form of empathy and compassion to go in and help teachers? Because a lot of people with your experience would say, you know, teachers actually didn't make my life a whole lot easier because they didn't realize the beyond my left-handed dyslexia that I was, you know, again, a learner who was there wanting to engage. The fact that you're now compassionate, in fact, you're a motivational comedic speaker lifting the spirits of teachers a lot of times when they really, really need it. How do you make that transition? Was there an educator, a teacher who did see in you beyond the left-handed dyslexia?
You know, you have to have teachers that see into your soul and know how to puppet master you into that next phase. I had great teachers.
Okay.
Periodically, you know, for every teacher that I was their Denis Machina or their, you know, their Jean-Paul Sartre No Exit or their, let's just say, their pothole. There, I'm bringing it down, right? For every teacher I was their pothole, I was also a teacher's, you know, I could be their greatest asset. I could be their companion. I could be their cohort, their co-collaborator. And, you know, look, I had a very interesting relationship with the teachers. I went to one grade school, Central School. Shout out to Central School in Rochelle, Illinois. You know, that's 90 minutes west of Chicago, and in a town where most people drive on I-88 and they stop to take a potty break before the Iowa 80 truck stop. So there's your geography. Nonetheless, at this school, before I would leave every day, I would idiosyncratically, habitually visit every single teacher, no matter whether we got along or not, and visit their classroom before I would exit. So by the time I was in sixth grade, I was getting home at least, you know, 45 minutes to an hour late. And my mom's like, where in the devil are you? What are you doing, young man? And
you're not just hanging with teachers.
Just hanging with teachers. You know, I often say that I am both parts of the teacher that I never had, and the teacher that I always wanted, and the teacher that was that saw me. So I guess that's three parts, isn't it? See, there's my math. Yeah, help me out with the math. Can you break in?
I'm gonna, Anya, that was three, right? Anya, you heard that. I heard three.
I see something in there. Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. I guess I should say a pie next time, right?
Nice.
If I want to tie the metaphor in properly, analogy. Nonetheless, these pieces stayed within me, and I can't tell you how many teachers and even administrators, you'd be surprised. They often come from the proper term, neurodiverse background. They come from an educationally challenged space or place because they want to course correct. I mean, that's such a common story. And I bet you've had on.
I would say, you know, one of the characteristics of, you know, truly those great teachers there's some kind of mission driven goal behind what it is they're doing. And as you said, I've seen best teachers, and myself, Tim, I wanted to be a teacher because, man, I just knew that. And this was weird. I was potentially angry at a lot of my teachers just from the standpoint of going, I was sitting there so ready to be more interested than they would allow me to be, that it was just okay. So you said, I think there's definitely something there. I know a lot of times now too, you're talking about neurodiverse, a lot of the students who we come across that want to become special education teachers, particularly, very much now indicate what you just said, somebody who acknowledged and saw them as a neurodiverse learner in schools and motivated them to be successful. And now here they are, they want to be a special education teacher and give that back. So there's that giving back type of thing. And I always talk to potential teachers, if you don't have that kind of a passion, that need to, vocational, right?
Preach.
Don't do it, right?
Preach.
Don't.
Preach.
It's like, because, man, it's tough out there, and you know, so much is out there. Oh man, we could go down. There are so many different ways we could take this conversation. We got 2 minutes.
But did I answer? I hope I answered your question there.
No,
Tim.
You did.
You know, it was Mrs. O'Brien. It was Mrs. Hagen. It was Miss Markham that let me. She let me tie her shoes for a little while until that, you know, that got her in trouble one day and she fell. But she literally would let me sleep with three mats and the slats of the blinds open because she knew I would never take a nap. She knew that wasn't going to happen. So she adapted, and you know, I took a rest. I took a pause, but you know, and on and on and on. Educators that knew, you know, I mean, I tell teachers all the time, you can teach the quadratic equation or you can teach people to think about the quadratic equation. Which one is better? Right? We're trying to teach the number of times you can get a student to think, engage, and ponder. That will reveal a human being. That will create a citizen. You can also teach people, you know, some facts, and that's not bad. That's not a bad thing. But it's not where the essence of great teaching and great education resides.
We are talking to Tim Clue, the maestro of mirth. He's loving that. Oh, Tim, when we get back, though, you know, we've talked the plight of teachers. We're going to talk a little bit more teachers. 844-967-2789, but we're going to bring you up more Busted Pencils when we're back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is a special report from ABC News. Colorado disqualifies Trump. I'm Daria Albinger. There was an historic ruling from one state's highest court tonight to keep former President Trump
off its 2024 Republican primary ballot.
The unsigned opinion from Colorado's highest court has the justices noting how they were, quote, mindful of the magnitude and weight of the decision they faced and the uncharted territory the court has now stepped into. Their ruling upholds a trial court judge's determination that Donald Trump did engage in insurrection on January 6th. Three of the court's seven justices dissented. The ruling is stayed for about 2 weeks until January 4th. That's the day before the primary ballot in Colorado has to be certified. It's to give Trump a chance to appeal this decision directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
The Trump campaign calls the ruling the work of a left-leaning group scheming to interfere in an election. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's official. A deal to trade University of Wisconsin employee pay raises for curtailed diversity efforts gets final approval from a panel of state lawmakers this afternoon. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
What Martin Luther King called a colorblind society, that is exactly where we want to go. Unfortunately, my Democratic colleagues continue to be obsessed with race and division and exclusion, and that's a shame.
Voss promises more scrutiny of diversity efforts at other state agencies. A local wildlife official says bird flu is likely to blame for killing 34 geese near Green Bay. Lab results are expected tomorrow. Meanwhile, an outbreak of canine distemper has killed about a dozen raccoons in the Rio area north of Madison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight and a low in the low 20s. More sun than clouds for tomorrow and warm, a high in the upper 30s. And mostly cloudy and near 40 for Thursday. A very slight shower chance Thursday night that carries over into Friday. Mostly cloudy, high near 40. Currently, it's 26.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We here at WBZH The Buzz have partnered with the Hayward Chamber of Commerce to remind you to shop local this holiday season. Small local businesses are the lifeblood of the community, and preserving them is key to preserving those things we most enjoy about the Northwoods. Small businesses are the first in local employment and charitable giving, and shopping local is the best way to stimulate a small town economy. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce and WBZH The Buzz are especially thankful to those who choose local small businesses first this holiday season.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, UK.
Welcome back, Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk, educated. Educators talking education. Guest tonight, Tim Clue, motivational speaker, comic, truly though the educator there that we have in heart. Tim,
all right,
I know you gotta get away. No, come on. This is you know, you're doing awesome work, and I tell you right now it's needed. You know, you said what a pre-interview when we were chatting before the show. You know, it talked about the fact that, you know, one of the things that concerns me is pointing out that you said, you know, how important teachers are, how hard the work has become to become a teacher. You know, I interviewed at one point in like 2020, 400 different teachers across the nation. 85% of them indicated that they were looking at any moment to potentially get out of teaching. When I asked them why, it was largely about, I can't teach, the stresses are there, I'm not allowed to help kids realize the dream that I imagined I could do it. They're leaving. You know, people called it a shortage at the time. It drove me crazy. I was like, this is not a shortage,
Tim. No, it's a precondition.
It's an exodus. It's an exodus. And if you want to have awesome schools, awesome kids, awesome communities, you can't have a teacher exodus when you're out. You know, how do we help them, Tim? Tell us the story.
Oh, Dr. Seckler, if I had the answer, believe me, I would, you know, maybe I'd be the Secretary of Education. So, you know, I don't think I'm there yet. So I'm as dumbfounded as you. I think we all know the problem, but we don't know the solution. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm.
And in fact,
I think we know the problem. At this point now in my, I'm going to hazard a guess. I know the solution. I'm going to tell you what, the solution ain't easy.
You got it. So yeah, no, the solution is something we're not, I don't think politically or socially or even, I don't think we even have a comprehensive understanding, even a rudimentary understanding of what it would take to course correct what has been incubating, right? This cake of exodus has been, you know, this cake has been leaving the oven, not since the pandemic, but a decade prior to the pandemic. Don't you agree?
Prior to that, Tim, you talked about being a, you know, a kid of the 80s myself. You know, I'm 1983. I'm a nation at risk. I'm part of the problem. You know, I mean,
you are a problem. Yes.
We've been telling teachers it's their fault since, you know, it's 1983. And here you go. It's their fault. And they're like, what is my fault? I just got into a profession because I had a passion to help make a difference in the world, in children's and communities' lives. How the heck is it? Am I the problem? And I say, recognizing that it has been, you know, and people go back even further than that. But the solution, when I say is simple, is to call out and recognize that where we're at with teachers, the exodus, people planned this. And this is where people go, Tim, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, it's only a conspiracy if it's not true.
Well, no, this isn't conspiracy. This is chemistry.
This is kind of, I mean, you know, 40 years of telling people how bad and how awful they are now here, particularly, as you say, throwing the pandemic in the last few years now, where we tell any teacher who, quote, as you said, might have some social emotional learning expertise, we're now calling those teachers groomers. And it's just like, okay, wait a minute. How is it that because I'm looking at the social emotional, I'm a groomer? And you imagine, you know, a teacher saying, I got into this world.
Dr. Seckler, can I pause? Is that a
sure?
Is that a pejorative term or is that a complimentary term? I'm unfamiliar.
Well, the groomer, this is the category right now.
Or is it a term we use for a soft pornography coaching?
It's around this whole idea that, you know, teachers are grooming kids for unwanted sex, unprotected sex, and
I don't even, you know, that is so silly. I can't even get that thought. You know, we have 100,000 more problems to get nice, kind, smart people that are 14 years of age thinking what their current mother or father who's a teacher would tell them not to do. And that is, they would tell them, if they said, I want to become a teacher, are you out of your ever flipping mind?
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. I've seen it time and time again. You know, in my day job, I work with future teachers and I meet with lots of parents who actually do come in and say they want to be a teacher, but we told them around the Thanksgiving table that we don't want them to be a teacher. And as you just said, you know,
yeah. And then, by the way, not just mom or dad, it was even the drunk uncle that was a bad job.
The drunk uncle who no one likes, although they were like, wait a minute, pay attention to your uncle. This is the first time he's made sense.
Listen to him.
He never knows what he's talking about until now. Okay.
It's kind of like that Onion headline they wrote once that said, worst guy around makes really good point. Have you guys ever seen that? It's like that when your uncle speaks up.
Yeah, when drunk uncle makes sense, it's like, okay, wait, the war on teachers. And I've framed it this way in the past, too, with blogs I've written. I'm like, it's an exodus of teachers because the war on teachers, this is the casualties. This is a casualty that we're looking at. This is the result of an onslaught of trying to get rid of public school teachers. And I see that pain, and I've heard it from teachers. Tim, when you're out there, though, and I've checked out some of your videos, you know, we're going to give you a chance before you go, though, to plug everything, but it's timclue.com to look at it. How often, it looks to me like when you're working with teachers in getting them ready, either for the school year, professional development, you're working on the routines, that they do have a starting point of potentially not really opening up. And then by the time they're done with you, I can see them in some form of a rejoicing. What is it that you're doing that's touching them and moving them out of this going, you know what, I came in here this morning thinking I'm not going to last another day, and I'm now ready to go back at it?
Look, I'm just creating the classroom that they want their classroom to be. Mm. We make fun of each other. We collaborate. I don't like the word fail. I really believe that's kind of an unfortunate tag, like, you got to tell kids to fail forward. No kid wants to fail. That's ridiculous. You can't position a classroom as the joy of failure, but you can say, hey, you know, we want you to experiment. We want you to try. We want you to not worry about your outcome. We want you to be a team. So, you know, when you take a class, which I do, of teachers, and turn them into co-collaborators, remind them of their friendship, remind them of their skill set and their genius. These are artisans. Mm. To push potential or to unleash it, to even find it or to light it. This is, you know, to quote the Visa commercial, priceless, right? Mm. And yet we know the price. Look up, do me a favor, Anya, type in, into the Googler, Maggie Perkins, Costco, former teacher, and look what you find. You find a story that is duplicated 100,000 times. She quit teaching. She was a beloved 31, I believe, or 35-year-old teacher. So this is a person that already has, they've gone through the trenches, right? They've gone through the NOM of teaching, and they've survived.
Anya typed it in the little notes there for me and you, Tim. 31-year-old teacher quit her job. Now she works at Costco, boosted her income by 50%, and quote, I've never been happier.
And bingo. I'll say too, I left teaching in March of this year. This will be this so however many months now. I can't express how my physical health, my mental health, and my spiritual health has gotten better since leaving education. Like, I'm looking at this woman's post here. I didn't go to Costco. I went into radio.
And you're starting to cry.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Costco now. Yeah, I'm thinking, the 150 hot dog and the Sunday samplers. But I feel this as someone who within the past 12 months exited education, and I truly, truly don't think I will ever go back into a classroom after the experience I had, that I feel for this woman. I love her. Maggie Perkins.
And look, I was not good at Lincoln Douglas debate. So, but I'm smart enough to know this, what's called a, my philosophy teacher told me that this is what's called anecdotal dicto simpliciter, right? That we're using a specific example. But if I were to ask Anya or Dr. Seckler to look up the statistics that support this illustrative example, it would be empirically impossible to disagree that this isn't just an anecdote. This is an exodus that is statistically unleashed.
Or as we say in the research field, that's statistically significant.
Yeah.
Statistically significant.
So just hear, I mean, if your callers are out there, just listen to what we're saying. I mean, when my daughter's trying to communicate something to me right now, and she's irritating me. She's 13 years old. But when she was three, I was fortunate enough with my wife to be able to live right across from a school, literally 70 paces. Mm. So naturally, knowing that my daughter was going to enter kindergarten, thinking how wonderful would it be for her to just walk out the door to her school, I started, hanging out at the playground. And let me tell you, thank goodness I had my three-year-old with me. Otherwise, that comes into question.
No, I was going to say, that could be a problem.
I was just about to ask.
See, I covered it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So I would get to just easily see some of the teachers. And I here's a question I ask all the time. I'll say, who's your favorite teacher? Of another teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all have one. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them, right? And for two years straight, I heard Mr. Garcia. And then one day I go over there and I said, well, where's Mr. Garcia? Oh, he was talented. He quit. He left. He's now managing Sidetracks down on Halsted Street in Chicago. And you know, for those of you who are deep dives, you can look up that and see what he did. It's a Costco move. It's a Costco move, right?
He was talented. Therefore he left.
There you go.
Oh my goodness. The idea that I know I've heard it like, yeah, I'm talented. And I said, I heard that for those 400 plus teachers that I talked to is that, you know, I can't be talented the way I know I can be, those types of things. And we think about that and go, okay, but we need you though. We need them to stay there. And so, you know, Tim, when you're out there doing this work, and said, go to timclue.com if you're interested.
Or Funny Educator. Funny Educator is easier to remember.
Funny Educator, get him out there, get him to your school, because this is what we want to do. And Tim, I want to hopefully have you back.
Hey, Dr. Seckler, I want you to know I am not on the show I'm on the show here to plug, but that's to plug holes in the hearts of people that don't understand that teaching is an art and a science. And if we do not observe this as one of the great arts and start paying people what it's worth, Maggie, Anya, Tim, 50%. She boosted her income by 50%. We cannot expect, if you go to Finland, and we'll talk, maybe we should talk about this after the break. Ask me about what they do in Finland. And I get it, they're a homogeneous population that have certain advantages, but can't we at least take a best practice or two from a country that seems to understand and appreciate educators and value them? That's where we need to go.
You went to Finland. Now, you made a comment, but my agreement was I thought you were taking off after this right here because you had things to do.
No, we're in. We're in it to win it then.
We're going to come back. We're going to do a little bit of Finland. It's busted pencils.
If Johnny vacated you, I'm not leaving you.
Well, we got me. We got Anya. We are digging it up. Busted pencils, fully leaded Finland when we get back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way?
It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Yeah.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Our guest tonight, Tim Clue, funny educator. Oh, all thing back and forth, teaching, you know, helping them recognize that we got to stop the bleeding. We got to stop the exodus. People, you know, you can't, goodness, 50% more paid to go to Costco and be happier. How do you compete with that? Tim, you were talking about, though, and I support wholeheartedly. I don't care about homogeneous on this sense, but you were saying Finland has something that they do, something that maybe we could potentially learn from. What is it in Finland that you...
Are you ready? Hold on.
I'm ready.
Hold on. Everyone, you know,
okay.
Put your hands up to your ears and cup them, because apparently that, you know, creates a little acoustical, wall for you to capture that. No, you know what? They do two things. They give them, they pay them extremely well. Like, and they are revered. They are revered like doctors and lawyers.
That's
you know, also along with that, a first grade teacher in Finland, does not ever get into a classroom until they've done at least 6 years of education plus two more years of mentorship under another teacher and a system that kind of, you know, passes on what they're looking for. And that's a collaborative, experiential classroom that tries to make students collaborate with each other more than compete against each other.
No, and I know this from Finland, some of my research work, and still one of these days, you know, I could see myself relocating there one day. There are Denmark. Denmark's always happy too. We talk about that being happy. But to
me, that in that documentary where people live to like 167, that one of those.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of those, you know. Who knew that being happy would keep you alive longer? My goodness. But the idea is simple. As you said, Tim, you're kind of making fun. Put your hands up. Get ready to hear this major announcement. But here's what Finland does. They respect teachers and pay them well. Wow.
Bada boom, bada bang.
Oh, man. And this is then what you just said, though, goes back to what I said. The solution is simple. In that sense, what's not simple is recognizing that it's really hard to get people to realize how simple it is. And in fact, I think that even that simplicity, it's so that the people, I'm going to put out the conspiracy, the people that have created this system that oppresses teachers, that squashes learners, that tries to disrupt and dismantle our schools, they're very petrified of how easy that solution actually is, because if you got a collection of people, and I didn't say collective because I don't want to be called a Marxist or something like that, but a collection of people like a neighborhood and a neighborhood where they have like a school and, you know, like a school in a neighborhood and a neighborhood in a school. And the people there together said, hey, you know what? The people in that school that hang out with our kids all day, we're going to respect and we're going to pay them well. And we're going to demand it as a democracy. We're going to step up and do what we're supposed to do as citizens. We're going to take care of the people that take care of our most incredibly precious children. My goodness, that's so easy that it could be done. And that's the biggest fear of those that have waged this 40-year war on teachers and our public schools. A little bit of the seriousness there, Tim. I'm sorry I had to go there.
I'm with you. No, we got, you know, all kinds for all minds. Let's get it. Look, run this experiment, Tim.
Okay. Go
at your next party, when people say, what do you do to make a living? Tell them you're a teacher. And if their eyes don't roll to the left and roll to the right, they sigh and breathe and say approximately the words, wow, how's that working for you?
Yeah. How's that going for you? You know,
how's that? I don't know. Do we consider that a success, that at least people have this kind of, unanimous stress reaction? I guess we're in phase one, that we know it's a problem, but we're not in phase two. We're in analysis paralysis because we're not figuring out how to course correct, how to do anything about it. So we change that reaction universally.
Mm. But the thing I think about that, though, and I went a little bit serious there before that to just kind of point out, I do think my neighbor, actually the majority of my neighbors, and we know this from research, people like their local public schools. People value what's going on out there. They haven't been allowed to pay attention.
They value their local public schools.
I know. That's a whole other, right?
Because we can't get them to value the public school next to their neighborhood.
Right. I know. And then therefore, when they're kind of, you know, falling into that trap of beating up on the next door neighbor school, they're not realizing that, well, guess what? Those neighbors are now beating up on their school. And so the dismantling that I'm doing across and not realizing I'm contributing to the dismantling of my home school that I like so much. And I think when I have much more time to have my neighbor pay attention and listen to two guys named Tim, you know, get Johnny back in here on you, that we can have a reasonable conversation and go, I bet you like going to Friday night football.
Right.
And my guess is that if Friday night football didn't show up on Friday night, you'd be like, what happened? And I'm going to be there and go, well, look, you have Friday night football because you had schools. You don't have schools because you have Friday night football. And recognizing that disconnect between football, the prom, kindergarten parade, the Santa's, you know, gift shop, all of those things that people remember, those are because of great public schools. Those are because of great teachers. So when you're out there, let's value this. Tim, 40 seconds here, those are coming out. So funny educator, timclue.com. We want to get you on the show again. We're going to have you back sometimes because Tim Clue, you have truly busted pencils. More pencils. Back next week
on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to bustedpencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger.